so much. Thank y'all so very much. Good to see you. Good morning. Great to see you out this morning. Where are our Grace kids? Where are our kids today? Where are they? Let's tell them we love them. You know, I monitor the claps for the kids. Half of you hate kids. I'm just going to tell you right now, you're not engaged. You're not yet. You're just like, we don't even like kids. So, yeah, I'm kidding on that. Great. Well, thank you guys so much for coming. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Well, Father, thank you for today. And now, Lord, as we look to your word and we seek to understand your will and your ways, we seek to understand how to hear your voice. Lord, open your truth to us. In Christ's name, amen. If you've been a Christian very long, I mean long at all, you've asked this question for sure. What does God want me to do? As a believer, at some point in your life, you have to care about God's idea for your life. You want to know His will. Now, we all ask that at different times and probably to different depths and in different ways. But we all ask at some point, what does God want me to do? I mean, if you've really encountered Christ and the Spirit of God has come to live within your body, you begin to care about the things of God more than yourself. And so you begin to ask, where do I fit, Lord, in your plan for life, for the universe, for me, for where I'm going, for what I'm doing? Now, we've spent a couple of weeks doing this. I want to remind you a couple of weeks ago. I don't expect you to remember. That's why I'm reminding you, right? A couple of weeks ago, we started, and I started the series, and I said, okay, there's two things that we have to remember from this. One is that God loves you and is connected to your life. So if you're here today and you think you've outsinned the love of God, you're wrong. If you think you've outsinned God's interest in your life, you're wrong. If you think you've run so far, so fast, in the wrong direction, that somehow God doesn't love you, want you, you're wrong. God loves you. He's connected to His creation, and He always will love you, and He will always be connected to His creation. He loves you today. That's just for sure. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. And the second thing we talked about was that God designed you in such a way to do what His will is for your life. Remember, we talked about your form determines your function. How God formed you and framed you. Psalm 139, shaped you in your mom's womb. So how He formed you and framed you largely determines your function. We use the classic example of singing. If you come up to me after church today and say, Pastor, God's calling me to sing. He's calling me to help Eric and these guys in the worship band and do all this kind of stuff. And you can't carry a tune in three buckets. If your mom is the only person who thinks you sing good, you are not called to sing. Can I get an amen? I know we've all been in churches where Sister Susie stands up, but bless her heart, she sings every Christmas, and she's horrible every Christmas, right? And so we talked about how God forms you for a particular function. He puts you together to do what He wants you to do. I mean, if you're here today and you're a student or somebody, you're wanting to be an engineer, but you hate math and you flunk all your math classes, I've got a very sad wake-up call for you today. You're not going to be an engineer. God did not put you together for that. Look, I don't like blood. I was a nursing chemistry double major for a few years. Then I got into clinicals and I saw that stuff. I'm out of here. You don't need a nurse passing out and getting sick every time they walk into a patient's room. Hello? Can I get a witness, right? God didn't form me for that, right? He formed me for a specific function. And so we talked about that. Now, last week, Ryan, didn't Ryan do a great job last week? Let's tell him thank you. Heard so many great things. Ryan talked about the will of God might not always be a smooth road. The will of God might not always take you in a direction and to a place and to a destination that's fun, that's lighthearted, and that's great. That might not always happen. God's will sometimes is painful. The road God has you to walk sometimes is going to have some disappointments. The road that God orders for your life sometimes is going to be filled with difficulties. It's not always going to be nice. How are you going to respond to that? So today, we're going to talk very quickly about how God speaks to us. Because I'm going to assume you want to know God's will. I'm going to assume that you're interested in God's will. So we're going to talk about how God speaks to your life today. Now, as we get started, there's a couple things that you need to do or need not do. Don't, when you think about other people, because I know you have people in your life that just seems that every phase, every part of their journey, they hear God's voice, they hear God's will, and they do it. Boom, 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 boom. No mistakes, no sidetracks, no detours, no dead ends. You know people like that. Listen, you can't beat yourself up or get bummed out because God doesn't speak to you like he does them. You can't do it. So just right now, just give yourself a break. Okay, if you're like me and you made a lot of wrong turns and a lot of dead ends, had to reroute, right? You know how the GPS works when you take a wrong turn? Rerouting, right? I get that all the time on mine. Y'all may not, but I get that all the time on mine because even with the GPS, I can get lost. Anybody with me, right? Rerouting. So even though it seems like God is continually having to reroute you, but not others, don't compare. Listen, if you're sitting here today and you look back on your life and there's been some pretty major dead ends and roadblocks and you're taking the wrong direction, man, things just have not been great, give yourself a break. Give yourself a break. That can begin to change today. Just don't be bummed out and don't beat yourself up. That's over. That's done. Now move on and let's just come together today and let's learn how God wants to speak to us. There's about six ways that universally God speaks to us. The first one is found in 2 Timothy 3:16. If you're taking notes, please do so. I'm going to move through this fairly quickly. But 2 Timothy 3:16, the first way God speaks to us is through his word. Scripture says this: all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, training, and righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. God's word is the foundation for how God is going to speak to you. So if you're here today and you don't have a lot of trust in God's word, then you're going to always struggle with hearing God's voice, knowing God's will, and being able to allow him through the Holy Spirit to direct your life. God's word is fundamental and primary. Those of you who've ever had any daily Bible reading process, I don't know if you do that. We encourage you to. We talk about it a lot here. We think that that's really important in your life. Coming here, we love seeing you, but what you do on Monday morning is more important. So having that ritual, right? We've talked about that, of where you pray, where you get in the word, where you have something you do every morning that anchors you to your faith. But if you've ever been in God's word very much, let me tell you what I absolutely know for sure has happened. You've read something in the Bible in the morning, and before the day is over, you've had to use it. Are you with me? God, you've been into a circumstance, a situation, you've encountered a person or a trial, and guess what? You had to use what you've read in God's word. The psalmist said this: thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's very clear that God's word can illumine those dark times in your life and direct you wherever you need to go. Listen, I promise you, there's more in God's word than you've ever dreamed or imagined. There are teachings and truths in God's word that you've probably breezed over, but put yourself in the right circumstantial situation and it's going to pop out at you and give you great guidance. So I want to encourage you, connect in God's word every day. It is the primary way that God's going to lead and direct you. Well, the second way that God's going to speak to you concerning his will is through his son, the person of the Lord Jesus. Look at what Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says. Hebrews says, now God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, he says, okay, consider how God spoke in the past. He spoke a lot of different ways to a lot of different people. But now look at verse 2. But now in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the world. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ is our example. You know what? Let me tell you what I hate. I'm not a big cliche guy, because cliches and colloquialisms and sort of current, modern speak, I just don't really track on that real well. Like beginning a sentence with so. I'm offending everybody in here. Right? Yeah, because when you write, I just don't see every sentence beginning with so. Right? So, and so, I don't really track on that real well. But here's what is true. This phrase, what would Jesus do? Y'all remember that? Nice phrase, right? Good question. Would we all agree that's a good question? Well, here's the problem. The cultural Christian environment took it, stamped it on everything, made millions of dollars, sold it, and now we can't even ask the question, and though it's a really good question to ask, because it's lost all of its meaning. What would Jesus do? Oh, yeah, I have that on a bracelet, right? But when it comes to the will of God, and when what Scripture says is this, that God speaks to us now through the person of Jesus Christ. So maybe, let's just turn the phrase a little bit, not what would Jesus do, but what did Jesus do? We have a record of what Jesus did in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You want to know the will of God? You want to know how to live? Are you interested in getting closer to the Father? Are you interested in this summer? This would be the best spiritual summer of your life. Are you interested in that at all? Well, if you are, ask the question, what did Jesus do? How did he act? How did he engage people? How did he deal with people who were difficult? How did he deal with religious zealots, legalists? How did he deal with people who doubted their faith? How did he deal with those people? This is a good question to ask. And Scripture says, this is how God speaks to us today concerning his will. You want to know how to deal with a difficult person at work? Jesus did that. He gave a story. He said, if somebody slaps you on one side of your face, you turn to them the other. He says, well, now, wait a minute. They're not hitting me. They're just saying bad things about me. All right? Then here's what you do. You go to Mark, and in Mark, Jesus said this. Here are the two greatest things you need to know. Love God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. There you go. If somebody at work is hammering you, you know what you do? You love them. You love them. Somebody talking bad about you? Love them. Somebody trashing your family? Love them. Somebody hammering your church? You love them. Somebody saying bad things about your kids? You love them. Somebody misunderstanding you? You love them. Get the idea? And that's what Jesus did. You want to know how to get closer to the will of God and how to move closer to the will of God and have this unbelievable summer? Do what Jesus did. Hebrews says that God spoke a lot of different ways in the past, but today he speaks primarily through the person of the Lord Jesus. Do what Jesus did. It's pretty simple. Okay? Next. In Acts chapter 13, we see that the Lord also speaks to us concerning his will through the person of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 13, the Holy Spirit speaks and launches out a missionary effort that would eventually change the world. Look at Acts 13:2. Now, let me set the context. The church is still pretty early. The gospel is spreading. It's very important that every leader that rises up within the church is a good leader, a capable leader, an effective leader. They don't have time for mistakes here because it's early within the Christian movement. And so they're looking at advancing the gospel. They don't know who to pick. They don't know who to call. So what happens? The Holy Spirit begins to speak. And look at what the Holy Spirit says in Acts 13, verse 2. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. The Holy Spirit actually pinpointed two people, right, and said, set them apart to do work for me. The Holy Spirit is real. Now, I know some of you right now are a little bit freaky, because you just said, okay, I just said the Holy Spirit spoke, so you're waiting. Okay, the Holy Spirit spoke, where are the snakes? They're coming up right here, right? You're thinking that people are going to start, you know, getting a little nutty here. And it's really interesting that in evangelical Christianity, which is what we are, we marginalize the fact that the Holy Spirit does speak to our lives. He can speak clearly, he can speak specifically, and he can give specific guidance in your life. Now, the Spirit says, or the Bible says, that the Spirit often speaks in a still, small voice. So the Spirit isn't always going to be loud and boisterous. Oftentimes, to hear the Spirit speak in your life, this is what you got to do. You've got to get quiet before the Lord. Now, and you have to probably do it more than once. You know, I know some of you are saying, okay, I want to know the next 10 years, God. So I'm going to go home, turn off the TV, turn off all the music. I'm going to sit in the chair. I'm going to be quiet for 5 minutes. Spirit, speak to me in those 5 minutes and give me the plan for the next 10 years. Wouldn't that be awesome? Sort of just download the will of God for the next 10 years? Okay, that's typically not how it works. You need to daily still yourself before the Lord. Just quiet yourself before the Lord. And daily avail yourself for the Spirit to speak into your circumstances, situations, and what you're going through. Listen, if you will do that, God will speak to you. God wants to speak more than we want to listen. Hello? I promise you, God is an active God. He wants to speak into your life. He wants to give guidance to your life. We have to still ourselves and listen. You're saying, yeah, Terry, but I'm just too busy to pray. How many of you have said that? Don't raise your hand. Don't out yourself. All right? Okay, I'll do it. I've said it before. Just too busy to pray. Bill Hybels wrote a book years ago, Pastor Bull Creek. And his book, this is really very interesting. It was the worst-selling book he ever wrote. And it was about prayer. And this is what he said. Too busy not to pray. People didn't want to hear that. If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. You're doing something out of balance. And listen, God wants to speak His will to your life, and He does so often through the person of the Holy Spirit. Listen, there's a difference between, I was an artillery officer, as many of you know that, and one of the first things I learned in the artillery world is the difference between a rocket and a missile. A rocket is a trajectory-fired weapon. We have rockets. And what that means is you set it on a particular azimuth, you set it at a particular angle, you begin to calculate things like temperature, wind speed, barometric pressure, all of this kind of stuff, and then you calculate what kind of charge you need, and then you would shoot it out. And it was a trajectory weapon. Now, the problem with a rocket is any of those things I just mentioned can throw it off its course to some degree. If there's a misfire, if there's a miscalculation, the rocket can end short or long or left or right. But a missile is different. A missile in the cone of the projectile, of the ordnance, there's an internal guidance system. And that internal guidance system can be hooked on heat, it can be hooked on motion, it can be hooked on particular shapes and sizes of objects. And so what happens with a missile is when you shoot the missile, it self-corrects as it goes through the sky and hits its intended target. The Holy Spirit came to live within you at the moment of your salvation to be your internal guidance system, to help you know and do the will and work of God. Listen to what Romans says. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says this, "Now in the same way the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit." What the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Here's what Scripture says. Scripture says when you come to a place in your life that your back's against the wall and you don't know how to pray. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to a place in your life where things were so bad, so horrible, so confusing, so frustrating, so out of control, you did not know how to pray? Have you ever not known how to pray? Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that in those times, the Spirit of God intercedes for you. Now, I want you to notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say you have to have some sort of ecstatic utterance. It doesn't say right here you have to speak in a tongue. It doesn't say that you have to have some sort of different experience. Not that those things are wrong. It just doesn't say that in this text. This text says that when you get to that point where life has thrown you every kind of curveball imaginable and you don't know what to pray, here's what you can do. Are you ready? You can go to the Lord and say, "Lord, it's me. And I want to thank you that you put the Holy Spirit inside of me. Right now, I'm facing all of these things, A, B, C, X, Y, Z, 1, 2, 3, all the way down the list. And I don't know how to deal with it. I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to think. I don't know how to act. So Holy Spirit, here's what I'm doing. I'm asking you right now to intercede for me and pray for me, because the Bible says you'll do it. So please do it, because I don't know what to pray." Now let me tell you what's true, and I love you. If you've not been in that point where you don't know how to pray, if you've never been back into that corner, more than likely in your life's journey you will be. More than likely in your life's journey, and I'm sorry to say that, but you'll get to the point where you will have to go to this verse, you'll have to lean on this principle, and you'll have to say, "Holy Spirit, I need you to pray for me. I need you to intercede." Guys, I got to tell you, I've been tracking my success rate at making decisions on my own. I'm about a 93.5% failure. Anybody with me? Anybody with me? I mean, left to my own device, I am almost always going to make the wrong call. So I desperately need the Spirit interceding for me. I desperately need, when I can't figure it out, to be able to go to the Lord and say, "Okay, Lord, the Spirit's inside of me. Now, y'all talk, because I don't get it. I just don't understand." The Spirit of God is real and is active and is in you and wants to speak on your behalf to your Heavenly Father. Engage the Holy Spirit and you'll find the will of God, perhaps a lot more. Listen, I pray that you never get to that point where your back's against the wall and you feel those kind of desperate feelings. But more than likely in life you will. So know that the Spirit of God is in you to bring that comfort and to bring that guidance and to bring that wisdom. If you do so, you'll begin to take a step closer to understanding the will of God. You want next week to be better? The Word? Be still before the Lord. Focus on what Jesus did. And allow time for the Holy Spirit to speak to your life. Next way that the Lord speaks quickly are circumstances. Circumstances. Romans 8:28 says this. It says, and we know this, that God causes all things to work together for the good. Those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. God will orchestrate circumstances and situations to get you exactly where He wants you to be. No doubt, do not question that. He will. I point to one person out to you in Scripture, the young prophet Jonah. Remember Jonah? God says, go to Nineveh. Where does he go? The opposite direction. So God begins a series of circumstances to redirect Jonah's life. God says, go this way. Jonah goes this way. What does he do? First, he causes a great storm to come. A storm that all the sailors, skilled sailors, knew it was God involved. They cast lots. The lots fell against Jonah. So what did they do to Jonah? Threw him overboard. So not only was that happened, but guess what else happened? Then he caused the fish to rise up, swallow him, right? And then take him for a sub ride for a few days, right? So once that was over, where does he end up? On the shores of Nineveh, right? And so hear me when I say God will orchestrate circumstances and situations to get you from where you are to where He wants you to be. He absolutely will. Trust the circumstances. Listen, some of you have this idea that in my later days, I'm really going to serve the Lord. When I'm a little bit further along and I'm able to go live on the beach, I'm going to serve the Lord. Or if I'm able to go to the mountains, I'm really going to serve the Lord. Or if I'm able to go to Africa, I'm really going to serve the Lord. This is not a Nobel Prize winning thought. Well, I mean, not really even clever, but it's true. You can't serve God where you're not. You just can't serve God where you're not. So you have to serve Him where you are. God has providentially orchestrated all of us to be in this place, at this time, in this community. That is God's plan for us. We're here. Therefore, God wants all of us to do something to advance the gospel in the lives of others around us. God worked many circumstances getting me here. And I bet He worked a lot of circumstances getting some of you here and for some of you to stay here. Some of you grew up here. You could have gone a million times. But God works circumstances to keep you here. Why? Because He has a plan for you right here and right now. Quickly, next, God uses others in your life. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Proverbs. To the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. I'm going to read you two quick verses. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. The Bible says this. Now check this. Where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Remember, God's going to speak often His will in your life through others. Did you hear what that just said? But in the abundance of counselors, the assumption there is godly counselors, there is victory. Now turn quickly over to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19. Scripture says this, 19 verse 20. It says, now listen to counsel and accept discipline. Why? That you may be wise the rest of your days. So here's the question for you today. Do you want to be wise and do you want to walk in victory? I mean, I don't think anybody wakes up saying, God, I want to be dumb and a loser. Does anybody do that? I mean, I don't think anybody wakes up saying, God, let me be a dumb loser today. That's really my goal in life, to be a dumb loser. I don't think anybody does that. The Bible says if you want to walk in victory and you want to walk in wisdom, here's what you do. You surround yourself with counselors. Wise counselors. Do you know why? And forgive me for being a pastor here for just a minute. Do you know why you need the church? Do you know why I need the church? I want to tell you why. Because I need to hear things that make me uncomfortable. I need to hear things that I don't like. I need people to push me in directions that I wouldn't naturally go in. I don't always see my life as it is. I see my life often how I want it to be. But people around me who are godly will speak into my life, right? and they will help tremendously. How many of you have ever been going down a wrong direction and a friend spoke to you and changed your life? Anybody? I have three people over time that have spoken to my life, and I'm going to name them because I'm going to tell you, if there's anything good or decent in my life, it's not because I thought it up or imagined it. It's because they've spoken into my life. A guy named Chris Stevens, he's pastor at Faith Promise Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. There are about 7,000-8,000 people. A guy named Dan Doster, he's a business guy out in North Carolina, and a seminary friend of mine named Lamar Farrell. Three guys who have spoken into my life regularly that listen, I don't know where I would be if God had not moved them into my life to speak words into my life that I didn't necessarily always want to hear, to pick me up when I fell. Ecclesiastes says that woe to the man who walks alone, and when he falls, he has no one there to help him up. Let me tell you what's true about life. You're going to stumble. You're going to fall. Man, it's not going to always be great. And you need somebody there who loves you enough to help you up. And if you're not connected to a church, where's that person going to come from? I don't know. I don't have a clue. Why do you need the church? You need the church, and the church needs you because you bring something into my life that I don't have. You're probably going to be able to speak into an area of my life that I don't even know yet. You know, you probably will. And I need to hear that. But if you're not here, I'm deprived of the guidance that the Lord may want to give my life through you. And you're going to have some areas in your life you need somebody to speak into. And if you're not connected to a church, who's going to speak into your life? See, that's not real popular in America. We want to think we can Google everything, right? I can Google all the advice I need. Boom, 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 boom. How many of you know Google is cool, but it's different when somebody sits down, buys you a cup of coffee, and out of love speaks to your life? How many of you know there's a difference? There's a difference. In the context of loving community, God can speak His will to your life. It's got to be biblical. It's got to be loving. It's got to be direct. Now, finally, I'll share this very quickly. We will be done. Let me, gosh, this is a hard one. Let me just say, what I'm about to say to you, I don't espouse as a doctrine. I don't espouse as an eternal, always biblical truth. I just want to throw it out there for you to see if maybe God uses this in your life. Now, maybe He doesn't. But for some of you, maybe He does. I believe God can reveal His will and bring guidance to you through music. Through music. I believe God can use music to speak to your life. Now, I don't think you're going to be riding down the road, you know, listening to Highway to Hell, you know, by AC/DC. And then God's going to speak to your life. You don't want to go to hell. You know, you need to go to church. I don't think that's necessarily how it works. Or you're going to be sitting there tuning out, listening to this, you know, Stairway to Heaven, right? You know, you're going to be listening to Stairway to Heaven. Oh, I really want to go to heaven. That's God speaking to my... I'm not sure that's how it works, all right? But here's what I know. God has used music profoundly throughout the life of His people. Let me read you quickly from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. There's this guy named Jehoshaphat. He's leading Judah at the time, and there's this huge army coming against him. And they are going to lose. Did you hear what I said? They are going to lose. They know they're going to lose. They've already lined up that they're going to lose because the army's too great for them to win. But a guy stands up in the middle of the assembly. They were coming together for encouragement, right? And said, wait a minute, God's got a plan for us. His loving kindness is good. His power is good. So Jehoshaphat gets this idea. And this is what it is. In 2 Chronicles 20, beginning in verse 20, here's what he says. Now they rose up early in the morning, and they went out in the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said to all the people, now listen to me, O Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord, your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in His prophets and succeed. Now, in verse 21, look at what he did. He said, now, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang. Notice he didn't say everybody who wants to sing. Did y'all notice that? He didn't say, hey, if y'all want to sing, come on down. He said, those who sing. In other words, there's a gifting, right? All right? Those who sing. I'm helping you out here, Eric, so you don't get a lot of people coming up wanting to sing that can't, okay? I'm helping you out. Yeah. All right. And when he consulted with people, he got all these people who sing, right? And he said to this, and the ones who praised him with holy attire, as they went therefore before the army and said, give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. So here's what he does. He basically gets the choir. He said, this is what I want you to say, and I want you to go in front of the army. Now, I don't know how many of you served in the military, but in that kind of warfare, if you were in front, that usually means what? You die first. Maybe you didn't like the choir. something to think about. No, but it's a principle. Look at the principle. The music, the song of the Lord went first. The song of the Lord went ahead of the army. The song of the Lord advanced God's people. And ultimately, they would win the battle in a miraculous way. I'll tell you a story. We'll be done and we'll move to our topic. Thank you for listening. I know you covered a lot of ground. Thank you. There was a guy named Jack Hafer. Jack Hafer was a pastor out in California at a church called Church on the Way. It's a huge church. Some of us in here who are a little older, you remember the Fifth Dimension? Remember the Fifth Dimension? Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr.? Remember them? Marilyn McCoo, okay, they went to church there, just FYI. After they came to know the Lord, they went to Jack Hafer's church. So that's sort of a connection for us older people, right? So Hafer tells a story. When I heard it, it shook me, and it took me years to sort through it. He said he was preaching one Sunday on this text about Jehoshaphat and the choir. And he said in the middle of the sermon, the Holy Spirit led him to say this. He said, there's somebody here today who is barren. There's a woman here today who can't have a child. There's a barrenness issue. And he said, the Lord wants you to go home, and he wants you to sing through your house. Sing a song of the Lord. Gravitate toward a song of the Lord and sing throughout your house. And God's going to honor that, and you will sing out the barrenness in your home. Well, Jack forgot about it. He says this sort of spur of the moment. A couple years pass. He's walking up to get ready to go preach. And a little toddler comes running up to him and grabs him by the leg. And the mom comes up and says, it's a pretty large church. It says, Pastor Jack, you don't know me, blah, 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 but I was here the Sunday when you said, go home and sing out the barrenness, sing the song of the Lord. And she said, I had been to every fertility doctor in Southern California. Everyone we could find. We had gone through every test we could go, and the doctor simply said we would never have any children. But after we had sang in our apartment for a number of weeks, not long after that, I became pregnant with our little girl. And since she is a result of singing the song of the Lord. Now, I got to tell you, because of how I'm wired, that's a little weird for me. All right? But here's what I know. Mathematics is the language of the mind. You can search that out. All of us know the mystery of pi and how that works. We all understand that. Mathematics is the language of the mind. But we also know that music is the language of the soul. We know that when God wants to shift us, often he brings a song. When God wants to move us to another place, he often brings a song. When God wants us to go in a different direction, it's often defined by music. We see this culturally, but we also see this within the church. The church in America was dead and dying. People were dying faster than they were coming in. And God, 40 years ago, back in the late 60s, early 70s, birthed a new type of music, a new type of song that began to sweep from the West Coast to the East Coast that changed the dimension and dynamic of worship throughout America. And churches have revitalized. Many have come to know Christ. Many have gone into ministry. Lives have been radically transformed because the song of the Lord came through. Now, I'm not advocating you go home and sing through your house. Particularly if you can't sing, make sure no one's there. Hello. Right? But what I am advocating from Scripture is this, that God uses music. That's what I'm advocating. And sometimes, when your back's against the wall and you don't know which way to turn, you've done these other five things, why not turn on Christian radio? Why not listen? And maybe God will speak to you through the music. I've shared this with you many times. I'll share it with you again. When I went through one of the darkest times of my life, two things got me through. Two things got me through. Listening to pastors who focused on grace in the future and Christian music. God wants to speak to you. He wants to direct His will through you. So avail yourself. I promise, His will and ways are better than anything you can dream up. I promise you they are. So lean on the Lord, trust Him, and I promise great things will come your way as God speaks to your life. Amen? Amen. Pray with me if you will. Well, I know that it's difficult for some today because the will of God looks hard and it looks tough. And you may not want to hear what God has to say. But I'm going to challenge you to do something. Summer's on us. The teachers are happy. The students are happy. We'll be taking a break here in the summer. Summer changes some things in our lives. Why not commit yourself right now to hear the voice of God, to understand His will for your life? There's nothing better. Nothing better. So, right now, just where you sit, just quietly, commit yourself to be in God's Word, to know more about the Savior who redeemed you, Jesus, through the Gospel, to allow the Spirit to speak to you, to position yourself to hear from the Spirit of God, to put yourself in a community of others that will speak to your life, to understand circumstances, try to drill down and see what God is saying by how He providentially guides and directs you. And then, for some, maybe open your heart and mind to Christian music and how God might use the songs of the Lord to speak to your life and direct your life. Never contradicting Scripture, never over and above Scripture, never going in a different direction from Scripture, always going to lead you down that line. And then finally, there's someone here today that doesn't know Christ. And you really would like to hear the voice of God speak to you. You really would like to have guidance in life. Here's the step you need to take. You need to just pray, Lord, it's me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you resurrected from the grave. And I surrender my heart and my life to you right now. Please forgive me of my sins as I surrender myself to you and declare you Lord of all. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand. 1, 2, 3. Just slip it up wherever you are. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that after you do this, you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. We will help you do that. We will talk with you. We will walk you through it. We will help you understand making that public declaration of faith. So as soon as we're done here today, I'm going to be up here. You come see me, and we will talk to you about your baptism. Well, Father, thank you for this time together, and thank you for your word and for your truth. And now, Lord, be with us as we go through our time of communion. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. At this time, I'm going to invite those who are serving to come forward, and those who are singing and playing and whatever we're doing. All right, come on up. We got everybody? Yeah, good. Okay, awesome. Okay, there we go. As we get ready for communion, a couple things I would just mention to you. First, we believe in what's called open communion. We believe that this is the table of the Lord, not the table of the church. We believe that it's the Lord's table. And so you are invited. It doesn't matter your tradition. It doesn't matter where you come from. If you're a Christian today, if you know Christ, you're invited to the table of the Lord. We believe here at Grace that this is a time we celebrate communion often together. And we do so because we believe that it's a unique encounter with the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 11, we see that some people became sick, and some people even died because they came to the table of the Lord in an unworthy way. So we believe that coming to the table of the Lord is a serious matter. So in just a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray, to confess your sins to the Lord, so you come to the table in a way that is right. We do not believe the elements transmute. We do not believe they change substance. But we do believe that the Spirit of God is uniquely present. And it is a spiritual encounter with the Lord. And we appeal again to 1 Corinthians 11, because if it was just to jog your memory, why did some people get sick and why did some people die? That's just a good theological question. So we do believe that this can be of great benefit to you. It can be great encouragement to you as you come. And so as we pray, we invite you to come. Pray that you will do so. The way to work is this side will come over here, this side over here. Y'all in the middle sort of eyeball it and go wherever. We offer two modes of communion. One is what we call intinction, where you'll take a piece of bread, you'll dip it in the cup and partake. The other is the cup method. There are two cups, so make sure you reach down and get both cups if you would like to do that. The guys who are serving are simply going to remind you of what the Bible says. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And this is my blood. This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. We're just going to tell you what Jesus said. And here's what we know. When we do that, it will be an encouragement to your life. Because that's just how it is. It will be an encouragement to you, to be sure. So if you're here today and you know the Lord, we're going to pray. And then we'll stand and we'll invite you to come forward with you. Pray with me if you will. Take just a moment and confess your sins. Scripture says that if we confess our sins, He, talking about the Lord, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, we thank You for the forgiveness of sins. And now, O Lord, we read what You said. It said, on the night that You were betrayed, You took the bread and You broke it. You gave thanks and You said, "This is my body which is for You. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, Lord, You took the cup also and said this. "This is cup as a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as You drink it in remembrance of me." Father, we don't fully understand the mystery of communion. We simply know that You've ordered us to do it. You said, "Do it, and remember me." So we do so. And now, Father, as we come to the table, I pray that You will touch each heart and life and bless them in an amazing way. Father, may each person leave better than when they walked in. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Stand with me, if you will, and let's come to the table of the Lord.
A light that shines when all the world's gone dark. Heaven holds you when you fall apart. His name is Healer. The deep Father, Your broken heart, in mercy, power, freedom, all His name, all His name. My name. us power, freedom, for His name.
Chance to come to the table of the Lord chooses to. If I had the opportunity, Patrick's positions. Join me, if you will, in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come to your table. Lord, we thank you that you sent your Son to die for us. Jesus, you died and you resurrected that we might have life. We might know the will of our Father. Now I invite you to join me as we pray as the Lord taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, glory forever. Amen. And amen. We've got just a few announcements for you right quick. Ryan, come on up.
Offer, you guys go ahead and come on down for the offering. I'm going to pray for our offering real quick. We give for two reasons here. One, because Jesus is the most important person and the gospel is the most important message. So if you're here visiting with us, we don't expect you to give in the offering. If you're a partner with us, this is your opportunity to give to further the gospel ministry. Would you pray with me real quick as we pray God's blessing over this? Lord, we thank you for all that you've given to us. And God, a tithe is just a portion, God, of what we could give back to you. So God, would you take this little bit that we have? Would you take the brokenness of our lives, God, and Lord, would you use it to further your kingdom and your glory? For it's in your name we pray. While we're taking the offering, a couple of quick announcements for you. We are continuing with the Wednesday night stuff. We are in the New Testament and here with the adults, which is going really well. I think you guys did Mark, I think, this past week. And so we're into the Gospels, which is an amazing thing. If you're a new believer and have never done this, the book of John is a great place to start reading in the Bible. If you're like, where do I start? You can start reading through John. You can pick a proverb a day. It's another great way to read the Bible. But an amazing time in here with adults. We do have stuff going on for our children. We have stuff going on upstairs. We've got some small groups going on for people dealing with addiction. Some great things are happening, but great stuff happens here on Wednesday nights, all starting at 6:30 and going to 7:30, 7:45. We'd love to have you come and join us. We do have our finalized camp stuff. We've got 43 of us going to camp, which is great, so please be praying. I will be putting together a list of the adults and students going, and I'm going to ask you to just pick them out and pray for them. As we leave to go to camp June the 5th through the 8th down to Daytona, that God would just do something amazing. Parents, I will this week get letters together for you for what the final payments are after we've distributed all of the camp fundraisings money and all that. It's been phenomenal. God has just been pouring out for our students. And so I just want to say thank you because it hasn't come just from us. It's come from our little community who believe in teenagers. And it's amazing. So as we go further, I'll give you guys some more stuff. That's it.
Yep, just very quickly, don't forget, each and every week you're encountering people that need to be invited to church. They will come if you invite them. Please be sensitive of that. Invite them to come with you. This is a safe place for them, regardless of where their journey's been. So please engage people and invite them. Second, summer's about on us. As many of you are going to be traveling, going and coming. Let us know what's going on so we can pray for you. We'd love to just pray that you have a great time, that you have a safe time. Enjoy whatever you get to do this summer. Have a great, great time and bring back some good pictures, okay? We'd love to see them. Yes. Okay, Terry, go ahead. Awesome. Awesome. If you're a lady and you're not connected with a Sunday school class, please do so. Let me also encourage you, where's Keith? Keith, raise your hand. Did Keith already leave? Keith may have already slipped out. Keith Hill is our men's teacher. Please, guys, if you don't have a place to connect, you connect there. Also, Alan and Trish teach a couples class upstairs. Alan was sick this morning, so he wasn't able to be here. We need to pray for him. So I want to encourage you to connect every way that you possibly can. Stand with me, if you will, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Well, Father, thank you for today and your goodness. And now, Lord, use us this week to advance the gospel in every way imaginable. Lord, I pray blessings on each person here. May this be a phenomenal week for them. Everything they try, Lord, I pray you'll bring great success to them. Lord, I pray you'll give them favor with their friends, with their family, with their coworkers. Lord, I pray you protect us from the evil one. And Father, help us to have wisdom to overcome systems that seek to hold us back and shackle us down. So, Lord, we're looking forward to a great week, and we believe this. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you.